Thank you for joining us today on Positively Charged Biz. We are here to motivate, inspire, and support our listeners as they write their life stories. We are a proud founding member of the Real Disrupt Podcast Collaborative, and you can check out more awesome podcasts at realdisrupt.com.
Hey everyone, I hope you are having a positive and productive day. On today's show, we have a very interesting guest that is going to enlighten us on the balance of chakra and financial abundance. Sandy Fernandez is the financial expert pulling from century-old energy practices to help everyday people get their relationship with money in order. An Amazon best-selling author, Sandy Fernandez published Karmic Currency, a book that has been jumping off the shelves as the world tries to find balance between paying bills and staying healthy. Sandy is a thought leader in the financial industry, pulling from her experience as a mom, a clairvoyant, an author, and 20 years as a financial consultant. Sandy, we are thrilled to have you here with us today. And on Positively Charged, we like to begin at the start. So tell us, when did you first recognize the connection between financial stability and balance chakra?
Well, thank you so much, Laura, for having me on your podcast. I'm so excited to be here. I mean, anytime that we can talk about our passion, right? Like, you can't shut somebody up when they're talking about their favorite topic, which is, you know, money and energy. But to answer your question, I want to say that really, I think that I always saw this connection with money. And I started my career in finance very, very young. I started when I was 18. I started as a teller at a bank. And I remember, and I write this in my book, one of my first stories was having an elderly woman come to my teller window to make a deposit. And I'll never forget it because she pulled this money, this sweaty, you know, $20 bills from her socks. And, you know, it was like, I didn't even want to touch it because it was like so sweaty and gross. This is pre-COVID. So we were okay with cooties germs still. But I remember that when I saw her and I saw the way that she was dressed and I saw, you know, kind of the state that she was living in, I started, you know, kind of to feel sorry for her. But as I made her deposit and she asked for her balance and it was an old receipt printer and it was like, and it was like going across printing her balance on her passbook savings for anybody who even knows what that is. It looks like a passport. Yeah. And you just slide it in the machine. It would print your balance. Yeah. And all your activity, man. And she had like over $100,000 in her account. And I just completely freaked out. And I said, wow, you know, why does she have all this money in her account and her clothes is tattered? And why is she putting in $100? Like, does she really think that that's going to make a big difference? Or maybe this is how she got all of that money little by little. I don't know. The you know, my mind was blown. And again, I was 18. It was the first time that I had really seen that type of dynamic. And I really think that that was the beginning of that quest, right, for answers and really searching and starting to really understand money as an energy and what exactly was the dynamic for people. And, you know, again, fast forward, 15, almost 20 years later, when I started getting all, you know, into the woo and into pseudoscience, and I became a certified yoga teacher and I became a Reiki master and I started studying theta healing and I started doing all these modalities is when I started learning about the chakras and connecting it. And then all of a sudden it was like the Matrix, like everything just clicked, like the puzzle just came together. And I said, oh my God, this is it. This is, oh my God.
Yes. And
so that's
Sandy,
really kind of,
It turns out that both of us are in the financial industry. I actually don't have a lot of guests that are in the financial industry with me. So we have both seen an awful lot, right? We have seen everything from people that, you know, every piece of credit has been pristine from the moment they got their first credit to now, to the opposite, to people mm-hmm. that absolutely have struggled, where you're looking at their bank statements or you're looking at their credit reports and you feel bad for them, right? And you're trying to piece it together. So tell us, what have you learned through all this research of where does this come from and how do we encourage people? Because again, we're in the thick of it. We see all of these different financial situations. So enlighten us.
You know, and that's a great question, because there really is no simple answer. Every single person that I work with has something different. The same you mentioned, right? Like no credit file is the same. Sometimes they can come and they can look on the outside like one thing, but when you open up, you're like, oh, wow. You know, it's either a treasure box or it's, you know, an explosion poop. And you're just like, how do we even begin to unravel this? So everyone has really a different energetic process when they deal with money. But the most common that I do see is typically it's shame. There's a lot of shame around money, whether you have money or whether you don't have money. And that shame and guilt often leads to those different types of decisions. The most common, right? And let's kind of take the worst case scenario. Worst case scenario, somebody with bad credit. A lot of times there's around that because now you're embarrassed. Yeah. You know, your credit is, you know, not great. You know that you internally as a human being, right? We always want to be the best people. So you probably didn't get a credit card, a car, or a mortgage with the intent to default on that. You know, I didn't intend to get my car repoed. I didn't intend to have my house go into foreclosure. I didn't mean to not pay off this credit card, but life happens. So we carry that shame and that embarrassment and this kind of guilt. And so we tend then to not face it. And so what happens when we don't look at it, it snowballs and it continues to snowball into what now I call your third eye block, which is where your intuition is. And this is where you can visualize me. So you now start to avoid looking at your credit. You know, this is our clients and people who are like, man, I don't even know what my credit score is. I haven't looked at my credit. I don't even want to know what's on there. And that happens to people with good credit. Even with people with good credit, they feel, you know, ashamed. They don't know what to look at. They're like, I don't even want to look at it. I pay everything on time. But then there's still this energy of, okay, well, if everything is good, why don't you want to look at it?
Right.
So really there's so much dynamic that goes into that. But I would say that, you know, truly those are one of the greatest things. And then what happens is you don't check your mailbox. So you have stacks of stuff, you know, mail that you haven't opened, you know, emails that you haven't checked. And I've been guilty of that myself. I notoriously do not check the mail. Like I hate checking the mail. And I, you know, I do this, I teach my clients so I can speak very openly about that. And a great story that I tell is when I worked at a financial institution, I worked there, this one particular one, I don't really want to name just in case, you know, but very, very well-known financial institution. And I worked there from like 2006 to about 2010. I was there for about 4 years. It was my first management job and I had a 401k there. And I thought that I had moved over all of my 401k to my next, you know, bank employer. And I kept getting mail from them. And I was like, why do these people keep emailing me? I haven't like sending me mail. I haven't even been 10 years. I don't have anything there. They keep sending me stuff from the 401k department. Like, what do these people want? But again, me being, you know, just not wanting to open the mail or deal with things, which are all different chakra energy issues. Finally, one day I'm like, let me call these people and find out why they keep wanting me to update my address. I'm like, what is going on over there? Turns out that because I had been there for a certain amount of time, I had vested money that at the time that I had left, I couldn't transfer. I had $15,000 sitting in a 401k that I had no idea about. So sometimes our avoidance of checking the mail is also us, you know, wanting to create wealth and bring money to us, but then we don't fulfill the action of, hey, just open the mail, pick mm-hmm. up the phone, call somebody, let's take some action. You could have debt that's wiped out. You could have something on your credit report that's 10 years old. All you need to do is send a letter and just click a button. But done. It's gone. So those are all, you know, symptoms of avoidance and like shame. You know, I didn't necessarily have any shame with that. It was more just procrastinating. Yeah. But it translates really into everything that we do.
Absolutely. Well, a couple of things from some of those. Number one, the thing about when you say shame, right? It's very interesting when you say that, because you're right. Shame doesn't necessarily have to be associated to something negative, meaning I work with lots of women in the mortgage business. Okay. And a lot of times I have found that women, especially, we almost are afraid to speak about money. We are afraid to ask for what we deserve to make. We are afraid sometimes to put it out there, almost that, oh, you just don't speak of that. You just don't mention it. So shame is a very good word. And then I also find, especially women do this, we almost feel guilty if we are more successful or financially taken care of than others, because it's almost like, ooh, that's a little weird for the woman to be in that type of position. But we know in our industry, there are lots of successful women that certainly are there, and there is no reason to have guilt or shame or any of that. So speak about that, because I do believe that, you know, there is an abundance mindset. You know, we definitely have to, we should never say, oh, well, I've done this much. Oh, that's enough. You know, like I don't need to keep going. I don't need to continue to grow that abundant mindset. So speak to us in regards to how do we get over that so that we can, you know, listen, the more the better, right? Let's continue to go on this path.
Absolutely. Listen, now you're really going to get me to not shut up. I don't know how much time we have, but this is really going to be the premise of the next book that I'm writing. I was supposed to start writing it back in March, but then the quarantine happened and all this other stuff. And I actually launched another business and it's been fantastic for me, but the book has been delayed. But here's why it's so important, the work that I do and what's so transformational, because as women, our strongest energy point is our second chakra. Okay, so the second chakra is orange and it sits really in our uterus. This is where women, as women, we create life. Mm-hmm. And this is where we, not only do we create physical life, but we also, this is also where we pursue our passion. This is where we tap into our connection with our parents and what we pass on generationally to our children, whether they're male or female. So what happens with this energetic space, this particular energetic space governs exactly everything that you're talking about, which is kind of that guilt and this feeling of, you know, value and worth. And as women, we tend to undervalue ourselves because this comes from generational, okay, teachings. So this is actually passed on to us through our DNA. It's learned. And it's through our DNA where we inherit all of this. You know, a woman, you know, is to act like a lady. You know, you stay in line. You don't, you know, don't get upset. You know, as women, we just earned the vote, the right to vote 100 years ago when I was in Washington at some work. You know, listen, there's people alive today that remember that, you know, the women's suffrage movement. And understanding what the women that paved the way for us, you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, you know, rest in peace. I mean, she was one of the pioneers of that, of, you know, establishing equality for women. Women were ownership. We were property.
Yep.
We were property. And, you know, Laura, you know this too.
We couldn't get a mortgage without our husband signing with us, right? Yes. That was Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Exactly. Actually gave us that right. Think about that.
Exactly. And that's exactly where I was going with this topic. And obviously, you know, politically neutral, I'm just making a case about women, right? Yeah. No, because everybody's crazy now, you know. So we gotta just disclose. Exactly. But it's really about, you know, how we were treated as property. I mean, women and men were allowed to hit us and we couldn't do anything. We just had to get beat. Men raped us. If your husband got home and he wanted to have sex with you and you didn't want to, well, you know, rape was on the agenda. So all of that is passed on through our DNA and it stays with us. And then certain cultures, me as a Latin woman, you know, my mom tells me all the time, I mean, I'm happily divorced now. I have my two kids, but she's always telling me, mija, when are you going to find, you know, a man and, you know, you can't be by yourself. And I'm like, why? Like, I'm so good, you know? And that translates into us. And that when we do this work, when we go through this journey of the chakras, we start to unravel the things that we learned and the things that we were taught from our parents and the behaviors that we observed, you know, that mentality of, you know, a woman's place is in the kitchen, you know, a woman's place is in the boardroom, you know, and having to reshape those ideas. Well, when a man expresses his opinion, he's assertive. But when a woman expresses her opinion, she's a bitch.
Yep.
You know, and it's redefining all of those things, but it starts with us. And as women, reshaping and redefining and healing those parts of ourselves that tell you that you have to mute your voice, that you have to, you know, measure your worth, or that you can't charge what you want to do, right, or that, you know, the things that you want are not worth it. And it's, you know, we're making huge, huge strides. And I have a lot of female clients and I have a lot of male clients. And with the women, I always find that the second chakra and the heart space is our two weakest points, because this is the part where we are the most emotional. This is the part where when we move from our heart, we start saying, you know, well, if I don't do this, they're not going to love me, you know, or if I don't do this, they're not going to appreciate me, or, you know, I don't want to hurt someone's feelings. But it's actually a place of empowerment and it's a place of power for you. And this is how you start to heal yourself and heal the women that are coming after you, and healing your daughters and healing the women in your past. So it's truly so powerful when we work with that energy. It's really amazing.
It makes total sense. And listen, the good news is that it is getting better. You know, we are making these changes for our daughters, for our, you know, people behind us that are coming, generations that aren't born yet, right? For our grandchildren. Yeah. So these changes are happening, but the best part is that these conversations are also now happening. Because for many years, like I said, women just didn't speak about a lot of this. You know, we didn't speak about money. We didn't speak about how we felt. We didn't speak about anything to do with us. It was always taking care of others, doing the best thing for others, right? Always being like the martyr and the caregiver. But at the end of the day, the stronger we are, the better we can help others. It can't always be about the others. So absolutely. So going back to the financial side. So I think back to that part is very similar to what you just said, that I think a lot of how families interpret finances and interpret what's going to come to them, it starts generationally also. You know, it seems like you're born into a certain whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. You're born into your family and you kind of learn, okay, here's the lay of the land. Money doesn't grow on trees. You know, it's this lack mentality of, I never have enough. I never have enough. I'm going to work until the day I die. I'm never going to get to retire. I'm never going to get to enjoy. So people that are born into that, it's almost like they're never even thinking there's anything else, right? So how do you break that cycle? How do you change that energy from that growing up in that mentality of the generation?
Yeah, listen, you know, one of the things that drives me insane is when I see, you know, social media influencers and all these things, and they're like, oh, you just need to use this stone or that stone, or light some sage and we balance your chakras and everything is pretty. And I'm like, listen, guys, you know, that's real nice. And I'm not saying that that's not what you should do, but essentially doing that is like taking a Tylenol.
Right. Okay?
So for example, I have a knee injury, and I have this knee injury now for like 10 years, and I refuse to go to the doctor because I know they're going to want to get me to have surgery. So every time my knee hurts, I just treat the symptom. I take a Tylenol, you know, I bought some amazing CBD ointment that I can rub directly on my knee, and it works better. I haven't used Tiger Balm or anything, but essentially all you're doing with those types of things is treating the symptom. You right. need to find that the cure. The cure for me in this case would probably be to have surgery at some point. I'm not going to deal with that pain, and I'm going to have the surgery. So what happens is that with money, we do the same thing. We continue to treat the symptom without truly going to the root and curing the problem. So what happens is people take these really cute manifesting classes and all these positive thinking courses, and they're like, oh, it's the law of attraction and Abraham Hicks, and I could, you know, just think positive and make a vision board and I'm going to get everything I want. And I'm like, yeah, that's fantastic, but you have really bad habits with money, and you're going to recreate those paths. And even if the universe, and when the universe does bring those things to you, you're just going to squander it, or you're going to wind up in the same situation, like the lottery winners, right? That's one of my favorite shows. The lottery ruined my life. It's sad, right? It's sad, but ironic.
Yes.
Because what happens is you're recreating the same pattern. So when clients work with me, I take you through each one of your chakras. Typically people have about three. Oh, and you know what we could do? One, we could identify yours. Don't let me forget. I'm going to tell you which one of your chakras.
Okay.
Need some work. So don't let me forget. But so we go through each one, and typically people have at least three chakras that are, you know, blocked or misaligned or too open. So we start with those so that we address, you know, the immediate things. And through there, we go through your money story. We uncover exactly what you said. How did you grow up? What were your beliefs about money? You know, in my house, it was always, you know, money is easy come, easy go. You know, my grandparents were very affluent. They had money. And when my grandparents passed away, my mom was like the princess. So she didn't know how to duplicate wealth. So what happened? Then she struggled financially. So my grandparents never taught her because, you know, we grew up in that Latin household where women don't work. My grandmother stayed at home. He took care of them. And now he's gone. And everybody's like, where's the money? What do we do? How do we run this business? How do we take care of that? You know, who's going to take care of us now? So understanding, you know, the ebb and flow of money. Or maybe you grew up in a, you know, in a poverty home, you know, where you didn't have a lot, you know, and your needs weren't met. I had a client who she had very, very deep, root chakra issues, with which the root chakra is the first one. It's really our primal instinct, survival. I mean, this is literally survival instinct. So she grew up with, her mom was very, very unstable. She was telling me the story. She would get home and her electricity was out in the house. They had water. She got home one day and all her stuff was outside. They had been evicted, moving. But now she's an attorney. She owns multiple properties. She has money in the bank. She has a college savings plan for her daughter. Like, she is financially set, but she could not figure out how to stop this feeling of panic.
Yeah.
And I told her, I go, do you realize that you have literally manifested into the physical life housing? Because your basic stability of not having shelter, your basic, you know, what do we need, right? What do we learn as little kids? Basic needs, food, shelter, water, you know, clothes. I go, you have literally manifested an empire of property that you will never have to worry about a place to live.
Right.
You will always have a place to go. You know, so we had to kind of go through that journey with her and healing, you know, that wound in her that kept recreating too much security, you know, and too much safety to the point where it was almost like hoarding,
right?
You know, and greed. Like, she just had this inherent panic of I can't be without. So everything that she bought was like times two, like Costco, BJ's, Sam's Club, you know, buying in bulk. And that was, you know, for her to say, hey, you know, you're not 8 years old, you're not 12 years old, you know, you've created a new life for yourself. You can rewrite your money story into one that's healthy and balanced. You're never going to forget where you came from, but we need to heal that. Because it was paralyzing her from taking chances, taking risks, or taking her business to a next level, because she was just paralyzed by fear. Like, well, what happens if, you know, this is taken away from me, or, you know, and then that's where you get into those blocks where it's both, you know, she's done well, but it's paralyzed her also from moving forward.
Wow. So, that's very interesting. No, that actually is very fascinating. So tell me about money personalities. What are money personalities?
So that's kind of a different topic. And there is a great book that I have read. I actually have it somewhere back here in my bookshelf, and I forget who it was. And he talks about the archetypes of money. I typically don't talk too much about the archetypes of money, because what I specifically do are work with the chakra energies.
Got it.
But I know that there's, you know, the saver, the investor, they have the spender. I do have a post similar to that on my Instagram page where I did connect it to specifically each chakra point.
Right.
And in my masterclass, I do have one in there also. And I kind of ask you, you know, it's playful, it's fun. Everybody's favorite top subject is themselves, right?
So of course.
Everybody wants to know more and more about themselves. I'm thick. So I do include it. But typically it's not, you know, it's not really my thing to talk too much about the personalities, because my focus really is on the seven main chakra points that are within the physical body.
And so each what one are of them, the seven chakras? Tell us about the seven chakras. What are they?
Okay. So we have, the seven chakras, they go in order by color. So the first one is red, which is your root chakra. It sits at the base of your spine, on your pelvic floor. So for ladies, if you do your Kegels and you do a little Kegel, you know, exercise, that's where your root chakra sits. For guys, I think so too. That's where it sits, at the base of the spine on the pelvic floor. The second chakra is your sacral chakra. That one's orange, and it sits, as I mentioned, where your bladder is, where your uterus is, and that's what holds creativity, passion, pleasure. The first chakra, I forgot to mention, is what holds safety, security, and it's fear. So any fear, fight or flight, comes from there. Okay. So then we move into the third chakra, which is one of my favorites. It's color. It's yellow. That's the solar plexus. It's right in the middle of our stomach. I call this one the hustle chakra, because this is where your willpower comes from. This is where your courage comes from. This is where your action comes from. So a lot of entrepreneurs have a love-hate relationship with this energetic point. Why? Because we're either doing all things or we're doing none of the things. So this is, you know, a really fun energy point, you know, because again, it gives you action, it gives you courage, it's about willpower. But when that energy is off, you go into, you know, full-on neutral. And also you could tend to be a little bit controlling if this energy is too overpowered. Then we move into the heart, which is green. And obviously this governs emotion, love, feelings, and this one is blocked by guilt.
Oh.
So any emotion ending comes from here. This is the feeling of, oh my God, I love these shoes. I need to get these, you know, and then afterwards you have, right, shopper's remorse, where you're like, why did I buy that? I really didn't need, you know, a third pair of that. also with the heart chakra, as women, and men too, this is where we can be, taken advantage of, you know, both in relationships and financially. This is that person that probably everybody calls for money, you know, because they're just so giving and they're always without. And they're like, oh my God, poor thing, you know, like we gotta, you know, do that. I have a client who's like that all the time. She's always helping everybody. And I'm like, can you stop? You need to stop. Healthy boundaries, say no. But she can't because she's just so moved by guilt. She just feels so bad. Oh. So she tends to go without. You know, I mean, we can help people, but, you know, I mean, you got to want to help yourself. And it's hard, especially when it's people that we love.
Of course.
You know, when it's family, when it's friends, it always gets a little bit harder to say no to those things. But it, again, awareness is key. At least you're conscious of it. You know, if you're going to do it, at least be aware, you know.
Right. Then it's your decision of how you want to proceed. Exactly.
Exactly. You know, you're going into this eyes wide open, right? You see what's going on. Okay. So that one's really powerful. The heart chakra is really, really a powerful. So the bottom three chakras, cause there's seven major, there's more. I just wrote an ebook for chakras 8 through 12, but the seven are the most popular that everybody talks about. So the heart is what starts connecting the bottom chakras to the top three.
Okay.
Okay. And energetically, the heart space works exactly the way that your heart works in real life. It circulates and pumps everything to where it needs to go. Mm-hmm. So that's why here it's really very, very powerful energy. The next one is the throat, which is our communication, how, you know, we sing, we write, how we express ourselves. Are we truthful? Are we liars? Are we being honest? Are we, you know, being dishonest? How are we, you know, expressing our feelings? What's beautiful about the throat chakra is that it's the one energetic point that actually has an exit, because this energy is released through our mouth. Mm-hmm. So through singing, through laughing, through, you know, when we yell, we scream, because that's why sometimes things, you know, we cry or we don't want to sing, we get a lump in our throat. It's like immediately it, you know, it's immediately symptomatic. So that's kind of a little fun fact. And then you have your third eye, which is your intuition. This is where you're able to see things clearly, where you can manifest. This is where you really start to tap into your spiritual gifts. So clairvoyance is very, very powerful, the third eye. Intuition, listening to that feeling that you get, seeing things, perception. This is also blocked by delusions. You know, sometimes people get a great idea. Are you crazy? Like, that's never going to work. You know, but people have them. And then the seventh flows above the head, which is the chakra, which most people have the misconception that this is where the chakras end. But it's truly not. This is where it ends with our connection to the physical, to our human state, and actually starts to connect to the spiritual state. So, but I'll spare you all of that.
That's awesome. So, Sandy, like, who is best to come to you? Like, what if, you know, the person that is experiencing or is looking for, or like, who would be a good candidate of someone that you know you could help?
So I get this question all the time. And, you know, even when I work with my marketing reps and things, are like, you need to have, you know, your exact person of who needs to work with you. And I'm like, dude, everybody has money issues. Okay. Everybody is my client. But some things that you can look for, right? Mm-hmm. If number one, any of these things resonate with you, if you're the person that is avoiding checking the mail, if you're carrying around guilt because of your money situation, if you're feeling like you're not moving forward, if you're feeling like you're stuck, sometimes we're in this state of paralysis, like you're doing all these things, but nothing is working out for you. Those are some of the typical, people that instinctively come for me. If you want to create more money, if you want to make, who doesn't want more money?
Of course.
But if you want to make more money, if you want to have a healthier relationship with your money, if you want to be able to understand what is truly going on, you know, how to duplicate wealth, how to, you know, really set yourself up so that you're building, a legacy for your family so that you can stop overspending, you know, or maybe you have a lot of money and you're afraid to invest it or to do anything with it. So, I mean, that's why it's so hard for me to see who's my client, because everybody really is essentially a prospect. It's just really identifying, what do you really want to work on? What is it that's keeping you up at night?
Right.
What is it that's bothering you the most about your financial situation? Maybe there's a goal that you've had in mind that you just can't seem to get there. Maybe, you know, for people like us, maybe you want to buy a house and you just can't figure it out. You're like, man, I don't know. Every time I go to buy a house or I, you know, get into this zone and I'm going to do it, something happens.
Right.
You know, and it gets delayed or it gets pushed back. All the money I had saved, I had to spend, or, you know, now my credit, you know, I had to rip out a molar. Okay. Well, something is happening energetically within your body that you are energetically
sabotaging. You get this close and something sabotages it. Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, and we've seen that, right? Absolutely.
Yeah, you're creating that. So, you know, anybody who truly resonates with that, you know, I do have, which is going to be rolling out. I'm not sure when this is going to air, but it will be rolling out November 1st.
Awesome.
It's going to be completely free. I'm doing 7 days and you can enroll at any time. So it's open at any time and it's 7-day financial alignment challenge. So for 7 days, you get an email from me telling you what activity you need to do that day. Financial steps, because again, since I have financial background, which is really what sets me apart too, to a lot of these other mindset coaches, they're like, oh, they took some online certification. I'm like, okay, that's great. But I have, you know, several licenses. I've managed $90 million under my portfolio. You know, I have countless experience with, you know, with money and what to do and all the money hacks. So every single day, you're going to get an email that tells you one financial step that you need to do and how it aligns energetically and how to leverage that energy point. Because when we start working with the energy, it helps us to move forward. Because now money is fun.
Yep.
And now we're seeing money as something that's not scary and something that's not threatening. Because most people, part of my success and part of why I've been able to, you know, take on this new journey is because now I'm not behind the desk of a bank anymore.
Yep.
So I'm not the big, scary VP of the bank who's going to talk down to people and say, what do you mean you don't know how to save? You know, how what do you mean you don't know how to do direct deposit? You know, sorry.
That's okay. Doggy. That's the new world. It's okay.
I know. I think it's the garbage guy he hears outside.
He says Amazon is delivering.
Not today. Today's garbage pickup. Thank you for protecting the house. Thank you for protecting me. But yeah, so you know, you'll get one of those every single day, and it's absolutely free. And again, like I said, it makes money fun, and it makes it not scary, and it helps you to really understand money as an energy and as a current, not just a currency. Everything that we buy, everything that we do, our emotions are invested into it.
Yep.
You know, when you go to Starbucks in the morning, you know, you swipe your card, you're going to get your coffee. That's part of your day. When you're buying a gift for your best friend or your boyfriend or your mom, you're so happy. You don't even care how much it costs. You know,
right.
There's so much love, so much amazing going into there. Now get a flat tire, or maybe your car doesn't start, now there's a different energy going in there. Now you're like, oh, I didn't need to spend this $100 right now. And now you're putting that energy, you know, into your money when it's not your money's fault.
Nope.
So we start looking at really the relationship with our money and how we really need to treat it like we would treat our best friend.
I love it.
If you ignore it, if you treat it bad, if you talk down to it, it's not going to want to stay with you.
Nope.
You know, nobody wants
to be in a relationship like that. It's going to go to someone that has that open, accepting, positive feel for it, and more will come that way. Absolutely. So, Sandy, how can people find you? How can they learn more? How can they connect with you? All that good stuff.
So, for anybody watching, you can find me. I am available really everywhere and anywhere. Google me. and I come up. But my website is karmiccurrency.com, which is my main website. My website for my online courses are chakrasandmoney.com. Both will link to each other. But if you look for me under Karmic Currency, that is really where you're going to find everything. You can find me on Instagram at Karmic Currency, Facebook at Karmic Currency, LinkedIn under Karmic Currency, or my name, Sandy Fernandez. You can find me on Twitter as Karmic Currency. YouTube is Karmic Currency. You can't see my shirt. But I was wearing my t-shirt today. my Karmic Currency shirt. You know, you can find me anywhere. Like I said, I have my free 7 days to financial alignment, which is so fun. I'm so excited about it. I have the master course rolling out as well, which is chock full of so much good content. I've got goal setting worksheets in there. I have diets for your chakra energies in there. Just so much yummy goodness. And then January 1st, I will be rolling out a live group course.
Awesome.
So anybody who wants to sign up, get on the waiting list for that.
That is wonderful. Well, thank you so much. Obviously, you bring lots of energy and passion to this, and it is such an important topic. So I really, really, truly appreciate you bringing this to us and sharing all of your expertise. And thank you for everything that you do. Let's wish everyone out there to have a great energy with their financial situation and their money, because we want them all to be successful, feel good, and have a positive day. Thank you so much, Sandy.
Thank you. Hey, Laura, I won't say anything crazy. All right. So all you're going to do is finish the sentence. Okay. Don't say whatever comes to your mind. Don't say whatever you think I want to say. Don't second guess. First thing. Money is
fun.
Money is fun. I love that. Okay, so for you, you are second chakra. So the second chakra is what we've really actually been talking about, which I already mentioned, that is the strongest point for women.
Right. So yeah.
Well, that's a whole nother conversation.
That's a whole nother conversation. And I know our time is up. You are awesome. Thank you so much. You have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of Positively Charged Biz. I'm Laura Brandeo, and we are here to motivate, inspire, and support our listeners as they write their life stories. If you have an inspiring story, please email me at laura@positivelycharged.biz. And remember to subscribe to hear more great guests. And connect to us on Facebook at Positively Charged and Instagram at Positively Charged Podcast. Until next time, we wish you a positive day.